Hi, folks, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I explore a different topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. I'm your host, Jess Serdikoff-Ramola, a registered dietitian, dietitian supervisor, and owner of Empowering Dietitians, where I help burnt out and unhappy dietitians opt out of hustle culture and reclaim their passion and purpose as a human first and dietitian second. After all, we are all more than a dietitian. First, a content warning. This episode does talk extensively about parenting, pregnancy, and children. If you don't feel like that's the best conversation for you to witness right now, please take care of yourself first and foremost, and consider skipping this episode. I will welcome you back next week in open arms for a new episode that is unrelated to this topic. In this episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast, I am joined once again by the wonderful Laura Jean, dietitian behind the brand Dietitian Values. Laura was originally on my podcast way back in episode 30, chatting about the importance of clarifying our values as dietitians and how to align our work with those values. Today, she's here for a slightly different reason. We're discussing a question that another dietitian posed after I announced my pregnancy. Does pregnancy and/or parenting change career goals? Laura shares her experience as a dietitian and parent of three, and I share candidly about the conversations I myself have been having all year long, from preconception throughout the pregnancy as well, to grapple with identity, purpose, values, and what might be next for empowering dietitians. If you'd like to connect with Laura after the show, check out the show notes or reach out to her on Instagram at Dietitian Values. And if you'd like to hear more about my experience through the rest of my pregnancy and into postpartum life, I invite you to sign up for the parenting subsection of my email newsletter, which only goes out to individuals who specifically opt into it. For more information on how to get signed up for that, check out the show notes as well. Welcome back to the show, Laura.
Thanks for having me back, Jess.
Absolutely. I've been going through all of my archived episodes, so I just recently came back, and the last time you were on was episode 30. We're now on, wow. I believe, episode 160-ish by the time this comes out, so it's been a little while since we've gotten to chat officially on here together, so I'm excited to talk to you today.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. And congratulations, 160. You know, I can actually remember, and it's very pertinent to our topic today, but I was actually on maternity leave with my third kiddo when your podcast came out. I actually remember, like, I think I must've been very specifically like searching dietitian podcasts just to keep my finger on the pulse a bit. Yeah. And I reckon you were like episode two or three, and I stumbled across, and I've been popping in to listen along ever since.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, for anyone who isn't familiar with you or maybe didn't catch episode 30, though I will link that because I highly recommend you check that out too. Can you give everyone a little 411 on who you are and what you do?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm a Laura. Laura Jean, but that is separate names, as in Jean's my surname. But I do answer to both for my Northern Hemisphere, all American, specifically American folks who do like to just call me Laura Jean. And that's cool too. I'm a dietitian, as you can possibly tell by my accent, not from around here. I'm based down in Australia, in a little tiny town called Gundaroo, just outside of Canberra, for anyone who likes to geographically place people on a map. If that's how your brain works, I know I enjoy that. And I'm a dietitian. Been dietitian for 20 years, worked across a really wide variety of spaces, working with humans around food and eating and relationship to food and health promotion, sports nutrition, defense nutrition, you name it, corporate nutrition. I've done most of it. And also private practice or entrepreneurship. So I've always dabbled in and out of that as well. So I started my first big business back in like 2007 before the internet. No, the internet was here. No social media, really. The internet did exist, though, because I did have a website. Anyway, and just been kind of doing that in and off around life, babies, three kiddos, mum, garden, all those kind of things. So what I do now is I support other dietitians and clinicians to bring the values that they practice and live by into how they run their business, and just removing any disconnect around that and supporting people to really build the, you know, create the business they want to be part of, and to create the world they want to be part of and live the life they want to live.
Amazing. And that is exactly what our first episode together was about, was really kind of these broader conversation around values and why they matter, and how we get to the core of them and incorporate them into our work. And today we have kind of a spin off of that, where we, I'm sure we'll talk about values, because how can we not? but specifically in the context of how parenting and becoming a parent can sometimes shift our identities, our values, our priorities, our career goals, all of the good things. And this came up, just to preface the topic for anyone listening, because I got a question from a dietitian that was essentially, does pregnancy / parenting change your career goals? And I think it was coming from this place of, and I can't put words in this dietitian's mouth, but it seems to be coming from the space of, do I even want to have kids? If I do have kids, how will this impact my identity as a dietitian, as a professional, as a human, et cetera? And what I want to go after, or what I want or am able to accomplish, kind of. So we were chatting a little bit. You have the experience of being on the other side of pregnancy and having three kids and having navigated different career transitions through that. I have a little bit less personal experience, though I can share what has been on my mind as a pregnant person. But we're kind of just here to have a conversation around that today.
Yes. I'm excited to chat about it and to just talk. And obviously share my perspective, which is N equals one. But hopefully, you know, just maybe a different story. I know when I was not so much around career stuff, but like, you know, having kiddos and that, like, you know, you want that shared common human experience. And I remember, like, you know, I don't think before I had my kid. Anyway, I think it was afterwards, searching birth stories. Don't do that before you have a kiddo. But you know, like, because you want to see yourself, or you want to, you know, sometimes things like validation get a bit of bad rap, and there is different motivations, I suppose, or motivators or reasons we go after that. But actually it's a human need to feel validated, to feel seen, to feel that what we're doing or our choices, you know, we're not out here taking crazy pills, to quote Zoolander. But yeah, so I'm happy to share my experience in the hope that maybe it just allows somebody to see, you know, maybe some options or possibilities that they weren't considering or that they were. And just to see that shared human experience.
And also that disclaimer that what works for us, or what we've landed on, or what's been on our minds, isn't universal. And if anything, hopefully this gets anyone listening thinking about it a little bit more curiously for themselves. But just because we had a certain experience or we're leaning in a particular direction doesn't mean that you have to, as well. Part of that, that piece too. So
100%.
I'm kind of curious. I didn't really put together concrete questions to ask you and interview you on, but one of the things that I was curious was your kind of first thought when hearing about this question, your initial reaction to it.
Yeah, when I saw that, I just sort of thought, oh, I'd love to just, I don't know, just share the overarching kind of pieces, and my journey, or my, you know, what's happened for me over the time has changed and shifted as far as how I've approached maternity leave. Also, I am in Australia, so it is a little bit different in that we actually get, not as an entrepreneur, not in my business as such, although there is government. Anyway, we actually get maternity leave, to answer that question without waffling off on three tangents, as I sometimes am wont to do. So it is a little bit different. So sorry, US folks. I think maybe even Canada gets some maternity leave, don't they?
US is particularly horrific with it.
You guys don't even get paid like holiday vacation leave, right? Like,
not guaranteed. So that is also something that I'm happy to kind of share my two cents on, of how that has shaped
my decisions and my maybe like privilege or freedom to make decisions that I might otherwise make if there were more social supports in place. So I'm happy to lend that piece again, even though I haven't officially gone into the postpartum period, the things that are on my mind as I'm preparing to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I suppose I was just thinking I'd be just be happy to share my experience in case it's supportive and in case it helps somebody to see, I don't know, different options, and that we can change our mind, and that we can let our values, whoops, there we go, only a couple of minutes in, lead the way. Like, you know, that's really what we can ground in, as opposed to, because sometimes I think we start looking for, like, you know, I know you talk a lot about being fixed, you know, fixing things. Mm-hmm. And when it's us, we, you know, and it's not necessarily anything we'd see as broken as such, but we look for the solution or the strategy, like we start there. And I think what can be really helpful is to ground in ourselves, you know, ground in our values, but also ground in our sense. And sorry, I'm going big picture straight up, Jess. Probably makes more sense after we've chatted, but, you know, like to just really to know yourself and to recognize you change and seasons of life change. So I became a dietitian. So I graduated from uni in like 2000 and, well, I left uni in 2003. I had a job before I graduated in 2003. Sure. Those were the days. I went on maternity leave with my first kiddo in 2014. So I had a really nice, I suppose, span of time. It was something I always had planned to do, have kiddos. Now, as I unlearn and learn, I couldn't tell you whether that's social programming or what. So I'm not sure about that one. I love children as such, but now when I reflect back on it, and I love my three kids, obviously, and appreciate most days of being a mum. Most. Fair. Sometimes. Fair. I do want to run away to a cabin in the woods. But yeah, so that piece is interesting. So if anyone is in that pre, not sure, like, do I even want, I just really encourage you to really just get curious, you know, connect with people who have different life experiences. And I didn't, you know, everyone I knew and all the words that I ever heard. And I was like a kid of the, you know, born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s, where it was the beginning of the thought of, like, you know, women can do everything and anything. And I will use the term women, obviously I'm socialized as a woman. And also, like, that's the kind of, you know, narrative, even though I understand and I just would name that not just women can have babies. Yes. But yeah, so yeah, you know, like parents, oh, you could be a lawyer, you could do all this, you know, but there was always still, you will also always have children, yes, right?
So on, I suppose on top of being a parent.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that will just happen. Like, there was never, it was never instead of, and I suppose I don't know what choices I would make if that story was told alongside. So I know I have three kiddos that currently identify two girls and a boy, as far as I know. And they, you know, I'm always saying to them, you don't have to have kids. You don't have, I suppose I just want to provide another story, like another option, and not that any of my choices are the path. So.
Right. And I can say that also to anyone out there who isn't sure and is kind of in this like existential questioning thing, I went through the same thing. I wasn't the person that was like dead set of like, yes, I'm going to be a parent. This is part of my like life mission and what will fulfill me. I had a lot of questions and I wasn't sure. And some of it was that conditioning of this was expected, and taking the other route felt a little bit more radical. And there was a lot of reflection that I had to do on, was I going down this path because it was the one that I was quote unquote supposed to, or because it felt like the aligned path for me. And that wasn't an easy reflection piece to go through at all. So kind of normalizing that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just such an important piece is just to really just to sit with it. And that's not to try and convince or tell people to think in certain ways, but just really to just bring it back to who you are and what is important to you and what your life is going to look like, because what you want your life to look like in this next season, if, you know, if you choose to have kiddos. I've had my kiddos across, my first kiddo was, I was 30, 2014. Yeah. So I was 30, 31, just about to turn 32, just before after she was born, then 3 years apart, roughly mm-hmm. 3 years apart, and then 38. So I was a geriatric mum.
Oh, love the terminology. Yep.
Yeah, you know, and so I sort of did a lot of things pre-kiddos, which I really appreciated, particularly around work stuff, like being able to do different things and say yes to different opportunities. So even that piece, I think, too, like when you're in that curiosity stage of like, do I even want this? Is like, you can choose. If you choose to have kiddos, you can choose when to a degree. Like sure. you can be like, you know, you don't have to. Again, I think it's just looking, yes, there's that, I know we even started with that shared experience, and you know, that's just a space to kind of ground in as opposed to tether to, that you have to go down that path.
Yeah. And we see that quite a bit. I mean, for a lot of different reasons. I don't know if this is also happening in Australia, in the US, the age of becoming parents or choosing to try to conceive is getting later. And we can talk about the systems, which is totally tangential to this topic today, but that's definitely contributing. But I think another bit of it is this identity piece and this, you know, I have more to me than being a parent, and I want to explore more of that before making this very big decision.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Because who you are changes. So even, yes, you can come back to things or do things mm-hmm. again on the other side. And who you are is radically shifting. Nobody prepares you for the, do we swear on here, Jess?
Sure, go for it.
Nobody prepares you for the mind fuck mm-hmm. of going from no kids to a kid. And if you aren't kind of radical feminist beforehand, it's very likely you'll be afterwards, to see the systems, to what you see, to what you experience. And I will just put that out there for anyone who is pregnant, about to have kiddos, it's not you. It's not you. So if you feel any sort of way about what's happening and what your experience is, get that support stuff in place as much as you can, because it is, I do really feel it is a mind fuck to go from, you know, because the story or the narrative or the social thing that we have is, yeah, we can do anything, we can be anything, you are really important, and then you have a baby and it definitely shifts. And everyone's experience is different and what that looks like and what that feels like. So I won't project my experience onto anyone. And not to say that I didn't just, you know, instantly fall in love with my little bubba and all of the pieces, and you're sitting in this really different space. I mean, you know, when you first have a baby, you can do lots of things. But just like, there's a human being that is like 100% relying on you mm-hmm. For all of their needs. And so to go from being, you know, I was very independent, you know, if I wanted to move, like I just moved around the country, did different jobs, traveled, like, you know, want to go, someone says, oh, hey, I'm going to go to Europe next year. Well, I'd like to go to Europe next year. Let's do it. You know, you just do what you want. Hey, you can even go to the toilet whenever you want.
Radical.
And this is not to scare anyone at all, but it's just a real big shift. So the reason I'm bringing that up is not to scare anyone, but just to really to say that, yes, you can be like, well, I can do all those things after. Absolutely, you can. And you'll be a different person to a degree. Yeah. Like there's just such shifts. So the season available to you, you know, pre-kids is just different as far as how you experience things and who you are. So yes.
Yeah. And that was kind of my reaction, is that, I mean, there are a lot of things in life that change us and change our priorities and change our goals. And becoming a parent is likely to do that. That doesn't make it good, bad, or otherwise. It's simply a change in your life, an evolution in your life, and to kind of make space. So one of the things that I'm doing is, yes, I had the conversations with myself, with my therapist, with my partner, with all of the people that had stakes in it and helped support me about why am I feeling pulled to have kids, and do I want to have kids, and what does life look like without kids, with kids, all of those big questions we can ask ourselves. But also a lot of it is leaving space for that unknown and allowing our priorities to change. That's Absolutely. Where that's where I'm at again in the pre phase.
For sure. And I really like that unknown piece, because there is you can't know one what will help me, but there's no point of reference, right? There's no mm-hmm. like, we can have empathy, we can attempt to understand, we can do all of these pieces, and to actually experience and embody it for ourselves is different, right? Mm-hmm. And even having three kids, you know, each time how I felt, how I landed into myself again, how I felt going in was different, you know. And even though, and even having my third kid, I was pregnant with my third kiddo. Don't have three kids, anyone. I mean, do if you really want to, but probably don't. They're very cute, but and I was like, okay, three kids, that's actually a bit. What are we doing here? And then I was like, but you know, I've got this, like, I've like got the logistics down, right? I know. Right. I know that. Okay, so I'm all good. Anyway, then my third kiddo comes along and he has like a cow milk soy protein allergy, and he's like screaming. And I didn't know this initially, but he's like screaming. And again, sorry, I'm not trying to scare anyone here, but he would be feeding, sleeping, screaming, yeah. feeding, sleeping, screaming, feeding, sleeping, screaming. And the yeah. only way he would sleep was on a human upright,
yeah.
Because he was in a lot of discomfort, poor little mate, sure. and we didn't know initially. Anyway, got that figured out. He was a little bit, but he also is just super highly sensitive to the world. Like, he just feels his experiences so physically. So even just my hubris that, oh yes, I know at least how to do the practical stuff was, yeah, at least like that. Like, I don't know who this human is. I don't know how I will feel. I'm going to have three kids. It's going to be a whole different ball game, but I know how to do the logistics of, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, thanks, universe, for reminding me that I know nothing.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that so often, that like no two pregnancies are the same. No two kids are the same. And, you know, our reactions can be vastly different postpartum and during pregnancy and all of these things. So I think that that piece is huge, is that choosing to kind of go after having children or raising children by any means is committing to not really knowing exactly what's coming next, mm-hmm. and being okay with the pivot, which is scary.
Yes, definitely do that therapy piece. You know, we know intellectually, right? Or hopefully most of us know intellectually that control is an illusion. I apologize if I'm bursting that bubble for you. Having kids is really the embodiment. Mm-hmm. It's the knowing.
Yeah.
It is how you will know that control is an illusion. Like, because we can put a lot of stuff in place to keep that illusion, or to give us the sense of safety, or the sense that we have. We do want senses of safety, but the sense that we have safety through control, by controlling the variables, because you can, to a degree, when you're an individual interacting with other individuals, particularly the way our culture and society is set up in that way. Yes, but having kids will really give you an embodied sense of the concept that control is an illusion.
Yeah. And I think so many dietitians are planners. So many of us identify as type A, and we want to like know what to do and plan for it and have it all figured out and feel prepared going into it, whether that's our conditioning through perfectionism and like all of the wonderful things that society teaches us to value. But we wind up with this, and then we get confronted with something like the idea of parenting, and that goes out the window. So I think there's a lot of like that self-development piece, the grief, the processing that comes along with recognizing that this is something that we're not going to be fully able to anticipate. And some of it is just putting faith in your ability to either be supported by the right people to help you through it, your own resilience to navigate hard things and to hopefully prioritize yourself in the midst of prioritizing other people's needs, and, you know, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that has, for me, definitely come out of becoming a mum is is actually really getting clear on my needs, like recognizing, oh yeah, I do have those. Oh, there's nothing like something not getting met that you really, oh shit, yeah, I do have needs. Because you know, you can just do it yourself kind of thing, when you, and you can do it yourself, obviously, but being in connection and relating with, whether it's your partner who you are having kiddos with or other people in your life, is obviously a big part of being a human. And I think, yes, if I could give one drop of advice, it would be, yeah, really get comfortable with recognizing your needs and asking for them to be met, mm-hmm. asking for help, asking for support. And we see it all the time, right? And yes, the systems need to change so that it's not the individual onus necessarily. Yes. And we, you know, need to take radical responsibility for our own lives and the lives we want to cultivate. So that would be a piece, you know, if you're not really comfortable with that, start practicing now. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what can build up, and you can even see it, if you can possibly see if you have a tendency for it in workplaces, in your business, if you have a business, is, do you put the needs, the values, even the you know, other people ahead of yourself? So like, you know, do you always push your schedule out for mm-hmm. to fit in that extra client? Do you go to that nth degree, you know, making the extra handout, doing the extra piece, you know, getting other people's needs, but not asking for you? Do you feel really uncomfortable asking to be paid for your what you do? These are really good amber flags. I was like,
red flag.
Yeah, it could be a red flag, but it could be just like a little thing to just get super curious. And maybe it's something you know about yourself, but being able to ask, to know what your needs are, to be comfortable having needs and ask for them to be met is a really big piece of still taking care of yourself and not losing yourself within, because it is easy to like to become a mother. And because we do become a mother or a parent, sorry. To generalize that. And yeah, then we can feel like, yeah, things shift and things change. And so just, yes, definitely know your needs, know those pieces. And I think what we were talking about before with the control and the piece of, like, you know, liking things to be planned and stuff, a lot of the times we do that because it gives us a sense of safety.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing how to access your own sense of safety, and I don't mean because you'll be in physical threat, but I think most people listen along, understand the nervous system mm-hmm. and things like that, and just dysregulation. And it might not be because we feel unsafe, but just knowing how to ground back in ourselves, knowing, having those strategies both within ourselves, or, you know, accessible by ourselves, but also that external stuff, the support, the community, all of those pieces, just so essential. Like, there's a reason humans have, you know, historically had and raised children within a village.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And these are all of the conversations that I had with myself in therapy, my partner, you know, all of the things before getting pregnant. And it's work that I've continued to center over the past few months. Because I know that that's a huge piece. I know we've been chatting for a little bit now on some of these generalities. And if I'm going to answer the question specifically to the best that I can, it's that I don't know that my goals have changed knowing that I'm going to become a parent. I think that the pace at which I might move toward them could change. I think the how important they feel to me could change. They could change in general, but I'm not going into this thinking like, yeah, no, I'm completely changing my vision for my career. It's more that I'm making sure that I'm reflecting regularly. So one of the things that I'm planning on doing during my maternity leave is, although I will be stepping back from the business, I'm going to be kind of reflecting on a regular basis, once a month, whenever I feel called to just say like, hey, how is this feeling? How am I feeling about different parts of my identity as a dietitian, as a human, as all of these things? And do I need to shift anything to feel like my life is bringing me what I need it to, or that I'm feeling supported and, you know, all of that good stuff? I don't know how that relates to your experience with three kiddos.
Yeah, I think that bringing that in at each piece, both in the planning, you know, like just sort of, and I think in this moment is a really good, or in this season, or some sort of little, even if it's just a really nice reminder, disclaimer for our little brains to remind ourselves that this can change. Because I think that's the biggest piece that I would offer up to anyone, wherever they are on this kind of path, journey, whatever you want to name it, is to just hold change as the only constant, that this can change. The thing that you can, that I find really helpful to ground in is values. Like, in this moment, these are my values and this is what is important and aligned to me, and holding open that values can change and that also we can change. Because I think what can get really uncomfortable or really can create that rub is sort of saying, oh, I thought I would do this, or I said I was going to do this, or I should do this. But what we want to do, what we know feels aligned for us, is different than that. And then we feel some sort of way about doing things differently, or changing, or changing how we thought or felt. Get comfortable with that. You're comfortable with that. Oh, I thought this and now it's different. Or now I want this, now I know this. You're allowed to change your mind. That would be the biggest thing I would encourage people to hold on to. Because I went into my first pregnancy maternity leave, I always knew that, well, my plan was not to go back to work. We changed, we made some very deliberate kind of lifestyle choices in the couple of years leading up, because I always knew that that was part of my plan. That was part of my thing, and was going to do, and I always planned to have kiddos and then probably do my own business stuff. So, but we did have maternity leave here. So I didn't quit my job straight away because I kept my maternity leave. And then, you're allowed to be on maternity leave for 2 years. So I kept my position for the 2 years. You don't get paid for 2 years.
Okay.
You get paid for, yeah. That's just a Jess's face. You can't say that. You don't get paid for 2 years, but you can have, so you have up until the second birthday of your kiddo to either go back to your job in its existing capacity, like full-time. This is in government as well. So like state health department. So different places are different. So you get your paid space and then you could choose that. So with the job I had, so I was like, well, I've got 2 years, and I held that space open. So I didn't, even though I really felt when I was making the decision, when I was going off on maternity leave, that I wouldn't be going back to that job, but I had the option to hold the job for 2 years. So I did, because I could have changed. I could have been like, this could have changed. Our financial circumstances, our lifestyle could change. Anything can shift things for us. So I think holding that was really important. I got to that 2 year point. I had to made the phone call because, I checked in with myself. So I love that idea, Jess. I think that's really practical, that process of checking in with what you want to do. And I headed out. I didn't go back after second kiddo, in between first and second kiddos. I stayed home the whole time. That's what worked for me at that time. I really, really enjoyed that time. And yes, we set things up, and I also have a lot of privilege to be able to do that. And there were some real conscious choices we made around how we could make that possible. And then second kiddo, and then about a year after my second kiddo is when I was like, actually I'm ready now. Like, I'm ready to do something. So I started diving back into business. So she was about a year and a bit over a year actually. And then with my third kiddo, I was running my own business. So I had a bit of a pause and I just waited to see when I was ready. And again, a lot of privilege there around financial stuff, not needing to go back from that point of view, and making a lot of choices to set that up and ways we could set that up as much as possible. Obviously things are outside of our control, and I have a lot of privilege in that I just even have that option available to me.
Yes.
And then I was posting on social media like within a couple of kind of months, weeks, because I enjoyed doing that. And that's the only reason I did it. So it was really about connecting to what felt joy, what actually felt aligned and connected for me. And then probably by six-ish months, I started to get back in. Probably would have gone earlier if my youngest didn't have the allergies, which caused a lot of, there was, different. You can't see my eyebrows. They're going up into my hairline. I needed that extra time.
Yes.
But probably if it had have been more similar to my first, how I felt and things, my first two pregnancies, I probably would have started dipping my toe back in a lot earlier, because some pieces did feel more easy. But yeah, so I gave myself a bit of extra time, caught up on a bit of extra sleep, got him a little bit more settled before I sort of started doing that. So with each child, it was really different. You know, first child, it was like 3 years, you would call it 3 years maternity leave. And then, yeah, so, but then how I shifted, and I suppose too, because what I was doing for my work as time went on became much more aligned as well. So I wasn't going back to a job. I was going back to a business that I had crafted and created to meet my needs and to be exactly the kind of business I wanted to be in and be part of. So actually, I really wanted to go back to that. Mm-hmm. My first job, which I knew I never wanted to go back to, one is, well, which I thought I never, I didn't know, I thought, but held open. One of that was because that's sort of just the path I thought would suit my values more, but also the job was like, wasn't great. Like it had shifted anyway. So that was a big part of it as well. So mm-hmm. I think, yeah, like as I shifted, one, it was about kiddos. One was about myself having a stronger grounding in my sense of self, but also it was also about, yeah, having cultivated and crafted a job that I actually wanted to go back to.
Yeah. And that's what really struck me with this question, is that if your values or your career goals change, I would hope that that means that it's what you want. And so it's making space to allow yourself to want something different, kind of like you said earlier, than maybe you thought you did, or to at least have that possibility out there. And maybe you'll be validated and affirmed with your experience, like you were with the first pregnancy, where what you went into it thinking was like, yeah, no, I want to be home. And that is what happened. And then either down the road or with a different pregnancy or a different experience or a different person, they might think going into it that they want something and then realize once they go through it that they don't. And I want us to give ourselves space to want different things than we think we did or should or planned for.
Absolutely. You know, and every parent will tell you that the parent they thought they would be before they were actually a parent is very different, because we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what we haven't experienced yet. And I know some friends who went back to work earlier, some friends who did what they thought they would do. And some who never, you know, who completely changed for never went back, or the amount of women who have career changes, because, you know, it's a clarifying, it's an experience. Like, as I said, it's a bit of a mind fuck, but it also really, if you are open to it and you're reflective and that's the kind of human you are, your connection to yourself and who you are and what is really important to you and how you're grounding your values will come out of that. And not because it's kids and that's some magical event, although it can feel pretty magical, not necessarily when you're actually having them. But because things that crack stuff open, physically, literally, we won't get graphic, Jess,
but you know, things,
those, also physically, transitions, those transition pieces that are really big and shift and allow us to see things or change things. You know, we have those big pieces in a moment. They, if we're open to it, there's that opportunity to connect closer to who we are and our values and really get clear on that. Yeah. And parenting can, and even I imagine for people who make that decision not to, like, have that decision and going through that process, and that, I imagine, is also like a similar experience in being able to be. So I really want to be clear that I'm not saying you have to have kids to get this. No. I just think it's one of those pieces, those experiences. And so, like, when we have those experiences that connect us more deeply to who we are and what we want, and what we need, then we can actually see that more if we're open to it. And if we have that, I think, really supported by, one last plug, having that grounding in our values of who we are, so we know that that is connected to what's important to us as humans, as opposed to what we think we should, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Couldn't have said that better. And I certainly am happy to keep listeners posted on how my values and career goals might change. I mean, I'm going off on maternity leave and I have an expected time back, but I don't know exactly what the podcast will look like. And you'll hear more, my final episode of the season, for anyone who's curious, we'll have more of kind of what to expect State of the Union type conversations. But you'll be seeing in real time how I respond to this and how I make decisions and pivot. So if this is something that's been on your mind, and it is helpful to have that experience of someone else, even though it is someone else's experience, if that's helpful, then stay tuned. You know, I wear my heart on my sleeve. But Laura, I really appreciate you sharing a little bit about what your experience has been and just your perspectives on this topic in particular.
Happy to do that. And if anyone wants to connect or would like to, learn more, please feel free to reach out. I'm always happy to continue the conversation if it feels supportive for people. So you can come follow me along. I mostly hang out at Dietitian Values on Instagram. I know Jess will put all the stuff in the show notes. Absolutely. But yeah, if you're like me and you probably don't go find the show notes, even though you think you should, because you're going to follow that thing up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At Dietitian Values. Yes. If you want to continue the conversation or hear more about my perspective, love the life that I'm living with 3 kiddos. It's a bit wild at times, as far as like, your mental mental capacity, but it's great. But I think the main thing is, give yourself that time and space, but just holding that change there with you, that option to change, get comfortable with changing your mind, and sharing that and communicating that with people. I love, Jess, what you shared, how much you've been talking and having those conversations. So I think that, yes, and I know that you sharing what happens for you will be such a helpful experience for people, because you do really, you share your processes and you share what's going on for you so well and so generously, that it allows people, I think, to feel that kindness that you give yourself. And, you know, I know that not doesn't necessarily come easily for us, but and that really comes across. So I think this would be a great space and resource for people who really want to, I suppose, just, get that common shared human experience.
Thank you. Well, this has been a pleasure as always. I will, of course, have all of your information in the show notes, but definitely connect with Laura if you resonated with her story, her vibes, or all of the things. But thanks again for joining me.
No worries. Thanks.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, there are 2 things you can do that dramatically help to support the show. First, leave a quick rating and/or review on your podcast listening app of choice. This helps new listeners find the show. Second, sharing this episode with a dietitian friend can also go a long way in spreading the anti-hustle message to dietitians far and wide. And speaking of supporting one another, please don't be a stranger if you find yourself in need of that supportive space yourself. There are a number of ways to work with me, from one-on-one supervision packages to my course, Abundance, and periodic live classes and workshops. The best way to stay up to date on which of these services and offerings are available at any given time? Grab my free dietitian journal to sign yourself up for my email list at www.empoweringdietitians.com/resources. That's www.empoweringdietitians.com/resources.